The views expressed by the host and guests of this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the Truth Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
So glad to be with you. This is Life Tuesday on Faith Works Live. My name is Rebecca Haney. As that handy dandy intro says, we love to talk with you and have you be part of the conversation as well. If you care about life and the protection of life, defending the right to life, today is the show for you. And we invite you to call in and participate anytime today if you want to. But if not, just save these digits in this order. 515-727-5842, 515-727-5842. And that is the secret way that you can get in touch with us.
We're not also supposed to be a secret.
Well, it's not anymore because I'm a blabbermouth. That career in espionage was over before it began. But we're also live on Facebook for the time being at Faith Works Live on Facebook, just like the title. And you can find us and chat with us there. And hello to all of you who are on the live stream there. Hello also to my friends in studio, our co-host on Tuesdays, Tim Overland from Personhood, Iowa. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Rebecca.
It's good to have you here.
I've been here. I don't know where you've been.
Again, secrets. We're all blabbermouths. No, I'm back in studio, God willing, for the majority of times now, moving forward. That's my plan. And y'all have given me so much grace to be able to connect in various ways and be sort of on location. And we've figured it all out. And the miracle of duct tape and extension cords has made all of this possible. So I'm glad to be in studio and being able to see you guys face to face. That's always just a little bit more fun. So I'm riding high these days because I get to be here in person.
There you go.
And Tim, I know it's been kind of a difficult, trying time for you for family reasons. And so I just want to say praying for you. And I'm glad to see you too.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. So I would say the importance of life is so near and dear to the both of us sitting in studio. And I know that it is if you're listening to these shows, or maybe it's something that you've been, kind of curious, kind of on the fence about, not really, your number one issue if you had to pick and choose. But we appreciate you taking the time to at least, think about it. To be thoughtful and considerate. If you are already convicted and you're like, yes, way to go. We need to be focused on defending life, protecting life in our country, in our state, in our churches specifically. Well, you guys are my people. But thank you again for taking this moment to be with us and to hopefully get activated a little bit. Today's story that we're going to focus on is something that kind of grinds my gears. And that is, that's a great way to begin. Here's what I'm mad about today.
Yeah.
The issue of censorship, I think, is a really, really big problem. And it doesn't matter what side of an issue you find yourself on. It really doesn't. I think if we're silencing voices and perspectives and information in particular, if we're making it harder and harder to get different sources of information or to be heard or for people's ability to be heard, I think that's a very dangerous place for the future of freedom in general.
Well, and doesn't it tell you how sure you are about your positions and argument if you just need to shut the other side down without the debate?
Absolutely. My position is incredibly strong. No, nobody disagree with me.
Right.
Don't make me think too hard about this.
Right.
And again, I don't necessarily agree with everything I clearly don't agree with every view that's out there about issues of life, abortion, and what we're going to talk about today, which is medicine, vaccines, and the production of vaccines. We're going to go over some of that as well today. But we should allow more information, not less, to be out there. And so when the big sources of information that are purveyors, supposedly, of true and unbiased information, like YouTube, start saying certain voices are no longer able to be heard, are no longer worthy of being heard. This is a big problem to me.
Isn't there a basic argument when they're doing these type of things, and is that we're not smart enough to figure out the truth?
Well,
it's misleading. I mean, they tag everything as misleading. I mean, you put a post out there, and you get potentially false information or fact checked or whatever on social media, or they just flat take it down and ban it because we're not smart enough to figure out what's the truth.
Well, maybe they wouldn't tell you that to your face, but that's pretty much what it is.
Kind of what they're saying.
About.
They are saying it to your face, folks.
That's how I felt. That's how I felt, and you have to validate my feelings.
Right.
And so I don't know if Sarah will do that or not, but it's been on my hope to-do list to talk to Sarah Qualley for some time. And I think I, you know, was maybe part of a conversation, but I haven't been able to have her on when I was hosting the show. So this gives me great joy to welcome Sarah to our, she's on our phone line, but to our studio once again. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, I am glad to give you great joy today.
Oh, good. Well, see, this is just a love fest already.
Oh, my gosh.
It's nowhere to go from here. It's all downhill.
I was really going to start shoveling it, but I'll let you two handle that. So
okay.
I'm sorry that I missed you in Cleveland. Let me just leave it at that, Sarah.
Sure.
Well, Sarah, you've been a friend of the show for some time, and people probably know that you are, you know, a lady of great expertise and great passion about the pro-life fight, particularly in the realm of personhood and that strategy, which Tim and I are both huge fans of. But why don't we go into a little bit, just to give people a refresher, into the connection between what personhood has been doing and the COVID vaccines and the development thereof?
Sure. Well, the reason this all dusted up in the first place was that Personhood Alliance put out their official position on vaccine ethics. And what we did is put together a group of many different people from many different states, both Catholic and evangelical. And we talked about all of the issues that were coming up, all of the arguments out there. We looked legally, we looked at different viewpoints, we looked at different denominations, everything. We tried to look at and consider, and we came up with, after about 2 months of rigorous debate and research, we came up with this official position. And of course, the thing that everybody thinks of when you talk about vaccine ethics is the use of aborted fetal cell lines in the design and production and testing of vaccines. And we said, yes, of course, that is part of it. But we also looked into vaccine coercion and vaccine mandates and how that violates bodily integrity, particularly when there is a vaccine product that was created illicitly.
See, that's really interesting. I don't think we talk an awful lot about that. I mean, sometimes in connection with the wider issues of vaccines and people's potential objections to them, but it should be viewed, I think, as a religious or a conscientious liberty issue.
It absolutely should. And I think what we're seeing now as this vaccine, the COVID vaccines move forward, we're looking at our children. And we're looking at not only the right to refuse for moral and religious or health reasons or whatever else for us as adults, but we're looking at this coming wave of attaching vaccinations to school enrollment or attaching vaccinations to anything that we're allowed to do freely in society, and children are going to bear the brunt of that very shortly, and in some states they already are. So this is definitely an issue of a church issue, because as we all know, the state is subordinate to the family and the church in relation to moral conscience issues, and we have to remember that, and that's a big part of what's happening right now.
I would say we should all know that, and hopefully now we do. But Sarah, as you are working with you and Personhood Alliance, you're doing this research. You're getting your information from reputable sources, knowledgeable sources, like doctors, for example, would be a good knowledgeable resource on medical expertise. And you decided to put out some of the findings on YouTube, correct?
Yes, actually what we did is I presented on the ethics of COVID-19 vaccines, and Dr. Alan Moy from the John Paul II Medical Research Institute presented on the scientific facts of COVID-19 vaccines. We co-presented in Cleveland, Ohio a couple weeks ago, and the video on YouTube was of our presentation at that convention.
And what happened to the video on YouTube?
Well, they took it down.
It's not on YouTube anymore.
they took it down for medical misinformation, which is a label that they are slapping on a lot of presenters and a lot of doctors, dissenting voices, when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccines right now. Anybody that goes up against the national narrative right now is getting slapped with this label.
Mm. But did they tell you what the misinformation was or how to correct it or anything like that?
No. Nope. It was a violation of community standards for medical misinformation.
Hmm. Well, that seems like a nice, vague term.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like social media ease. You know, it's the way the big tech companies can, well, hey, you violate our standard, and then they'll send you the laundry list if you want to dispute it. I did that with Facebook a while back, and they actually put in their community standards the words that you can't use that get you in trouble. They don't edit them. They put the actual filthy language in their community standards to tell you what you can't. At least this was on Facebook. But yeah, it's just a nebulous term that allows them to be the thought police, because as we were saying going into this, you and I aren't smart enough to figure out what the truth is.
Yeah, and I think it's really, really, really important for people to understand that there really is a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of hyperbole right now surrounding COVID and vaccines and everything that's going on, masking. So there's all kinds of misinformation floating around out there. And this is exactly why we were so meticulous, not only at the Personhood Alliance in our vaccine position, but also Dr. Alan Moy and I in our analysis and our presentation of data during our time at the convention. We have peer-reviewed sources. There's data taken from reports published by the vaccine manufacturers. I mean, mm-hmm. this is coming from primary sources, and it still was considered medical misinformation.
Well, and I know, knowing you as I do, you know, with our work on personhood, one of your things that you strive for, you know, in general on the life issue is not to necessarily call the other side out, but to make sure that quote unquote our side is actually presenting factual information, because we've got everybody has their bumper sticker slogans, and I've heard you multiple times challenge those and say, no, this is really, we shouldn't be saying this because we're undermining our credibility. So I mean, you know, if it's just to me it's just laughable, just because I know that that's what you do. You are a research, you know, junkie, right. I guess. So
I'm a total geek.
God bless geeks. We need more of them.
Well, yes, we need more.
And obviously, Dr. Moy has a spotless reputation. I mean, I know he's testified here in Iowa multiple times, probably all over the country for that matter.
Well, and that's, again, the disturbing part is that without presenting the evidence on their side, YouTube says, well, this is misinformation and we're not going to put it out there. And basically, you guys need to sit down and be quiet. And let's figure out what some of that dangerous information is that YouTube doesn't want out there. We'll put it out there on the airwaves and just see what happens. You're listening to Faith Work Live.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Brought to you by our friends at Agape Pregnancy Resource Center. Talk about living out your pro-life. This is a practical way to help women in crisis pregnancy, is to partner with pregnancy resource centers like Agape, who they offer practical help right here in our own community every single day, free of charge, from pregnancy tests, STD testing, ultrasounds, and just the general counsel and help to support women when they're in maybe an unplanned pregnancy, or they're not exactly sure what they're going to do. Maybe they've got some conflicting diagnoses and people in their lives pushing them to make choices they don't want to make. That's why women in these situations need real help and support. And they'll find that at Agape. So find out how to partner with their ministry at agapedsm.com. My name is Rebecca, and I love life. I love the smile of my newborn. Well, he's, you know, a month and a half old at this point, but who's counting? He is just a great reason to get up in the morning at every hour of the morning, if necessary, because that's the stage that we're in right now. Nobody sleeps in our house, but it's all good. And it is, I mean, we're counting it all joy. It can be a struggle, but it's the best reason ever to lose sleep, because you're pouring your life into the lives, into somebody else's life. You're laying down your life for your child in some way.
Now, are you one of those that are going to be saying that your little one is 60 months or
60 months.
At what point do you start?
Quick, divide by 12. Do math. I don't give people math problems.
Okay.
I care about people too much to give them math problems.
So one, we quit counting in months, right?
And right.
We
start saying, and then they're like toddler or they're, you know, 1 year old, 2 year old.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
That seems
just
reasonable.
I hate when people are going, well, they're like 23 months.
I'm 236 months old. No. Again, love people.
All
don't
right.
give them math problems. But that being said, Elijah's doing pretty well. But
good.
I guess all of this becomes more real when you have a little one in your mm-hmm. arms, in your household, when you have that grandbaby, when you have, you know, someone that you care about. You have names and faces to put together with these issues, quote unquote. And mm-hmm. so that's why I think it matters that we personalize it here ourselves in the pro-life fight, so to speak.
Yep, for sure. You know, if you guys have been listening the last couple of weeks, you know, we've had our second grandbaby who came way too early. He was born at 24 weeks or 26 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, and frankly, in a lot of the country, he could have been aborted, you know, and so, you know, it's right there in your face. You know, he was under 2 pounds when he was born, and we've had some other issues in the family going on, you know, with the first grandbaby. And so it's, yeah, life's pretty precious and it's not just an issue. This isn't an issue. It's the issue, frankly.
Yeah. You look at the perfection, the intricacy of mm-hmm. this child's beautiful little fingers and toes and nose, even at that stage when they're, you know, would normally be inside mom. And
right.
we get that special window into what God's working in the womb. I don't know. I think that's
and how inept. And we do a really, I don't mm-hmm. want to, let me back that up. I do not want to downplay or diminish anything that these NICU doctors and nurses do.
Not at all.
But
yeah. They're amazing.
It's the incredible lengths they have to go to try to even come close to replicating just what God created in the womb is amazing, you know, and it's some of the smartest, most caring people on the planet, you know, and it's just, it's a natural something that God created, and we're doing everything we can to try to just get them a few more weeks closer to what would have just been a natural setting.
It's enough to make you want to worship, right?
Yeah, right.
And look forward to the day when all will be made right and
yes.
redeemed, and we won't have to, you know, have those types of issues anymore.
But, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Sarah Qualley has been kind enough to hang out on our lines and listen to us pontificate for a moment. But she's from Personhood Alliance. She's been a great friend of the show here on FaithWorks Live. And today we're talking about the slight issue that YouTube dares to censor pro-life organizations. And Personhood Alliance, I think, is the latest one that I've heard about where you all have been presenting some very important information and dissenting information, you might say, or at least challenging information to the status quo on the COVID vaccines and the development of these medications, ethical concerns. We've talked about that some on the show here as well. And if we have time, Sarah, I'd like to go a little bit more into that and give us a refresher. But to date, is Personhood, those videos are still, they've been silenced and they've not been allowed to be back. Is that correct?
Not on the YouTube channel that the conference has, not on Cleveland Right to Life's channel. They are actually up on the John Paul II Medical Research Institute Rumble account.
Okay.
So if you go to Rumble, you can just look up John Paul II Medical Research Institute and find the video right there. And I can certainly send it to you. And you can put it in the show notes, too.
Sweet. That would be excellent because I'm Googling as fast as I can, but I don't know how quickly I can get up there and talk at the same time. Again, sleep deprived. But what was in these videos that was so dangerous that YouTube didn't want it up there? That's my question.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when you said the word dissenting and challenging, and it's interesting because all of the information that Dr. Moy presented on the medical and the scientific side was information that's published out there by the pharmaceutical companies, by the CDC, by the FDA. It's just not being communicated because it doesn't fit the narrative. So this isn't new information. This isn't information that he dug up or that I dug up. This is just communicating clinical data, information that is readily available to people, but they don't know how to look for it because we're not doctors, right?
Sure.
We're not vaccine experts. So how do I know where to go for that information? And that was one of the reasons it was so important for us to put that, all of these different scientific and medical concerns in one place, present on that. And then I picked up on the aborted fetal cell lines and the vaccine mandates side of things, that ethical side of things. But the interesting thing, I think, is these vaccines, particularly the ones that are that the FDA has authorized for emergency use, are mRNA vaccines. And they're not vaccines at all, actually. And you might have heard this. Mm-hmm. They're gene therapies. So what they do is they send a message into our DNA, and they tell our cells to produce a protein that looks like the coronavirus. It looks like the COVID-19 coronavirus. And so our body reacts then to that protein. So we're not actually using a piece of the virus itself like is done in normal vaccines, right? Mm. It's a therapy that goes into our genetic code and makes our body do something. Well, the problem with that technology is that it's failed a couple times in the past. So there's things like very limited immunity. That's one of the concerns when we look at mRNA gene therapies.
Right.
There's uncertain protection in high-risk groups. They don't prevent the transmission of COVID-19. They're unproven against new strains. And you probably heard that too, where, oh my goodness, there's all these new strains. What are we going to do? Well, because that's not how this technology works. There's safety concerns for people who are elderly, for people who are already immune compromised. And I think the thing that we have to recognize is that these things are experimental. These are not approved by the FDA. They failed to get through the approval process in 2002 and 2012, and the FDA has only given emergency use authorization. So right now, the public is part of this mass experiment. We are the clinical trial.
Wow.
And that is interesting to me how that is never presented. We don't understand that. So I know we're going to break, but I have a really big question for people to ask themselves about the benefits and the risks.
Absolutely.
In receiving this vaccine. I think it's important.
All right. Let's get to that big question on the other side. You're listening to Faith Works Live.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Our friends at Iowans for Life have been pro-life warriors in our state since 1972, and they have been advocating for the dignity of human life from conception till natural death. That's something that's very true with our hearts, too. So we are happy to support them and their efforts at the State House with legislation, their advocacy, their educational efforts. And we really can invite you wholeheartedly to go to their website and find ways to get involved. IowansForLife.org. IowansForLife.org. Also, the folks at Onimus Beef, they know what they're doing, which is naturally and home-raised Angus butcher beef. You're missing out. If you've never tried an Onimus Beef burger, well, basically, you wouldn't want any other kind after that. So once you go Onimus, it's really difficult to settle for anything else. That's just, that. At least that's my testimony, and I'm going to stick to it. At our house, we love Onimus Beef because we love the Onimuses and what they do, but it's also just great quality beef. So I know that you're smart, you care about your health, you're listening to this show, and you're taking notes. So I would invite you to go to the website, which is onimusbeef.com, to order yours. And if you have any questions, they're happy to give you the answers that you need and help you through the process as well. Also, the cows are incredibly cute when they're in that, you know, new cow
phase. No, stop saying that.
I'm sorry. It's true. Two things can be true at once. The cows can be cute when they're little, and then when they grow up, they can make delicious burgers. People need to know the truth, Tim. These are harsh truths.
David and Deanna are like,
I'm sorry.
No, stop.
You just can't name them. That's the rule.
Okay.
That's the rule. Anyway, Onimus Beef. I'll work on my marketing techniques during the break. But the thing you should do is go to onimusbeef.com, which is onimusbeef.com. It's delicious. Anyway, my name is Rebecca, and you're listening to myself and to the awesome Tim Overland from Personhood, Iowa. And Sarah Qualley is on the line from Personhood Alliance, and she's been, she really set this up perfectly at the end of our last segment, because there are some major concerns, both ethically and medically, with the COVID vaccine. And it feels like the moment that I say COVID vaccine, suddenly everyone has an opinion and everyone's immediately decided what they think before they even hear it. But just to invite you to maybe introduce some more information into your paradigm as we open ourselves up and be, you know, critical thinking, intellectual adults that make good decisions. That's what we want when we're putting things into our body. We want them to be safe. We want them to be good for us. And Sarah, you were describing some pretty uncertain, at the very least, and as you said, interesting concerns about these particular vaccines. They're maybe not like ones that we've had before or we would be comfortable or familiar with, because they do different things inside our body. They're modifying our body in different ways than maybe a traditional vaccine would. So you said there's a huge question that we should all be asking ourselves. What's the question?
Yeah, so if we're looking at this idea of limited immunity and safety concerns and failure at getting through approval in the past, all of those things add up. And I think the question is, if there's no great benefit in receiving these gene therapies, which we're calling vaccines, and in fact there's a greater risk in some populations, then why is it being mass marketed as the answer? Why? And if it's the answer, then why are we still having to wear masks and social distance?
It's all about money, boys!
Yeah. So we have to start asking these questions. These are very basic questions that aren't, you know, dissenting. Well, they are, but they're just basic. Mm-hmm. They're little head scratchers. Let's just stop for a minute, because everybody's in a panic. We've had chaos and lockdowns and despair and strife for over a year now. And now we're being told that the cure for all of that is this vaccine. But it's a new technology. It's unproven. It's risky. It's not even a vaccine. And it's created with aborted fetal cells, right? Mm. So if we're worried about these benefits, right, and these, we do this risk-benefit analysis, we have to ask the question of why. Why should I take it? Especially if I'm healthy, I'm young, I'm a child, I'm pregnant. I'm someone who is not likely at all to die from COVID-19. This virus attacks a very small portion of our population. We know this about this particular virus. So you have to then ask the question, well, why should everybody get it if not everybody is at risk? These are just basic questions we should be asking.
Yeah. So, but Sarah, what about the pushback? Well, yeah, but we've lost 500,000 people in the last year.
To what though? Was it COVID?
Well,
I mean, we can go down into all kinds of rabbit trails now, right? So it's important. Every death matters. Of course, every life matters. Right. Every death is tragic. Absolutely. But this is not the answer to the hospitalizations and deaths that we're seeing, regardless of what the numbers are. This is not the answer, because it's just, you look at the science, you look at the data behind it, produced by the pharmaceutical companies themselves, produced by the CDC. It just doesn't hold water. And we're looking at side effects now. We're looking at deaths from the vaccine. And I mentioned this earlier, we're now looking at moving this into children. You know, parents are being paid thousands of dollars to have their children participate in trials. And no one knows what's going to happen. And that's the case for any vaccine trial, any medical trial, right? But in this case, this is a new technology that has not been proven, but it's failed twice. That's a concern.
Well, isn't it, and you know, again, you start talking about going down rabbit trails. I think, sadly, what has happened is you had people who politicized this virus. I think it can be, I know there were statements put out by those on the left that were going after President Trump. They saw this as an opportunity to hurt the economy. There were several quotes that people got caught using. And once you get to a certain point, you have to just ride out, you know, the lie or the whatever. Otherwise, you know, you start looking like a hypocrite, or the facts come out that show that this is why you were doing it. So you can't let up now. I mean, I saw a headline this morning about Florida, and you know, they talked about the spring break and all these cases are popping up again. Well, you get down another sentence and they start talking about, there's no more deaths or hospitalizations. There's just more people testing positive. It's like, well,
right.
The two important numbers are going the direction they're going down.
Mm-hmm.
The cases, because you guys are testing with these really bizarre testing methods and lax testing methods. And it's who cares? I don't care if more people have it as long as they're not in the hospital or dying.
Right. And that's something that we have to really pay attention to, and I think has been hidden throughout this whole process, throughout all the rhetoric we've been served over the past year, is that testing number and the lack of focus on deaths and hospitalizations. I know in Minnesota, we're still under lockdowns. We still have a mask mandate. Our numbers have bottomed out for a couple months now,
mm-hmm.
yet we're still on this same trajectory. And there's always an excuse and there's always a reason. And we've got to just wait a couple more weeks or we got to wait a couple, 30 more days. And so you have to start asking, then what's really going on here? And without being conspiratorial, because I know you certainly can, people can become conspiratorial about this very easily.
Sure. We don't need to do that.
No. But I think you can just ask and say, okay, if this vaccine really isn't all that effective and we're locking down healthy people when we should be making sure that we protect the people who are truly vulnerable to this virus, then what's going on above that? And that's when I think you get into what are the things behind, who are the people and the motivations and the interests behind this idea that we are now going to mandate vaccines or we have to have vaccine passports. And that's when you start getting into issues of being able to freely engage in commerce, being able to have your data privacy violated or not, looking at coercive methods, looking at states that are now taking away exemptions for religious and moral exemptions for vaccinations across the board, not just for COVID-19, but they're using this crisis as a way to remove exemptions from vaccines. And that is a serious, serious issue that we have to pay attention to. All these other things that are going on in parallel to these efforts, you have to ask these questions.
So now we're getting our papers. We're having to make sure we have our papers. I have to cynically ask myself, what's next? A gold syringe on our lapel, or what are we going to have to wear?
Right. There. If you look at this, it isn't hard to scratch past the surface, but if you look just a little bit past the first layer, you'll see so many tech companies right now in this running to produce these vaccine passports. And the one common pass that's out there that's already being piloted by airlines and other businesses across the world, it's really scary.
Thanks, Sarah. Hold on just one quick second. Tim's going to adjust his tinfoil hat. We'll be right back here on FaithWorks Live.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
InterVisions Healthcare provides real hope and help to women in crisis pregnancy. They have two different locations in our metro area, one on the west side and one on the south side. So at either place, you're going to find hope and tangible help from pregnancy tests, STD testing, confirmation ultrasounds, and just the counseling that women would need to be able to make the best decisions for themselves and for their families. They'll find it at InterVisions Healthcare. And you can call them 24 hours a day. So that's a pretty good deal, too. And they'll be able to talk. You'll find someone that is knowledgeable that can help answer your questions and help you get to that next step. Call 515-440-2273. That's 515-440-2273. My name is Rebecca Haney. The name of the show is Faith Works Live, and the name of the game here on Tuesdays is Life Tuesday, and that is to present different ways that we can protect and defend life. And today we've been talking about some concerns that we've had that YouTube sees fit to silence a national pro-life organization based on them putting out actual medical research and data information about concerns with the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. And Tim Overland from Personhood Iowa has been helping us break this down with Sarah Qualley, who is our subject matter expert on this from Personhood Alliance.
She's not just from, she's the president.
The president of...
President. Well,
you, newly my apologies.
Elected, newly reelected.
On the education side, yes.
Right. Well, you don't have to put all that in there, Sarah. Yes. You're the president.
Just say okay. President. See? Just put president on your name tag and don't...
That sounds good.
You don't have to tell president what. You know, it's fine. It's automatic. We believe you. We believe you. We okay. give you a fancy okay. title and you're always going to be the president around here. Forgive me. but yeah, Sarah, as we've been talking about this, I think a lot of people may be new to the information that you're providing them. So they haven't heard this and they're thinking, well, I need to do a little bit more research on the vaccines. Maybe they've already been vaccinated and now they're concerned like, oh, what did I do
what
to
did
myself?
I do? What genie did I pour into the bottle?
Oh, no. So I don't know. Would you be able to speak to someone who's maybe had this or been concerned about what to do about the vaccine and where they might be able to go to actually get more information from a reliable source?
Sure. We have our official position on personhood.org/vaccines, and there are many links to all kinds of research that we used. And a link to the chart put out by the Charlotte Lozier Institute that has all of the vaccines and their use, their connection to aborted fetal cell lines. So all of that information is linked to from there. Also, the John Paul Medical Research Institute, it's jp2mri.org. That's Dr. Moy's organization. He has wonderful information on his website. FAQs about the vaccine. He gets into how mRNA vaccines work, why there are scientific and medical concerns with this particular gene therapy. And so lots of really good information that I think is presented in there's half of it that's presented, you know, from an academic standpoint. And there's a lot of information on there that's also from in layman's terms. So you could go and it makes sense and you don't have to have a PhD to understand it, right? Mm-hmm.
Sarah,
I would recommend his site as well.
I'm sorry. You were talking about the video that YouTube has taken down and you said that it's on the John Paul II Rumble page. Is
yes.
that up on Personhood, the national page anywhere? Is that something that we can get that up onto Personhood Iowa? And be able to share that out. I know maybe links are a little easier in social media to share out than embedding the actual video.
Right. So the link is in our press release on our website. And if you go to personhood.org/vaccines, you can actually see the PowerPoint. Both of our PowerPoints are there for you, as well as the link to the presentation on Rumble.
Awesome. I think that one of the... I think we had the press release out. I'll follow up with our social media and make sure that we're getting the press release reshared just to make sure people are seeing that and give them an opportunity also to share it out into their networks.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, I think one of the things we were talking about during the break, which is when the best conversations happen, is Tim, you mentioned something akin to our need to protect our own egos, maybe when it comes to taking a stand on something or believing something. And then when challenging information is introduced into our paradigm, our instincts as, you know, fallen human beings is that we want to be right more than we want to know what's true. So if we find ourselves maybe going down a wrong road and we start to challenge those assumptions a little bit, or someone comes up to us and says, hey, what about this over here that you didn't factor in? Or this doesn't look to be true anymore. Instead of coming back to our original position and saying, you know what? Yes, maybe we should adjust what we thought was true, which I think is a humble position. It's an honest position.
Yes.
We tend to defend what we said was true in the first place and then just kind of plug our ears and la 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 our way through anything that might challenge that. that narrative.
Yeah, and we live in echo chambers now, right? You get into social media, you only friend people that agree with you. There's a lot of people I'd sure like to kick off my social media, but I don't want to be in that echo chamber. I want people that challenge me. It sharpens, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? I want to make sure that what I believe is true. And I want people challenging me. And then every now and then it makes me go to somebody smarter like Sarah and find facts out and help me. Okay, Sarah, this is what I'm hearing. I'm struggling finding the information and going to those sources and finding out the other information is what we should be doing. And if we're wrong, then we adjust it. As I said in the very first segment, that's one of the things I appreciate about when I first met Sarah at the Bring America Back to Life conference several years ago. She has always not only challenged the pro-abortion side, but she challenges the pro-life side to make sure that we're not putting out false information just to support our argument. And so that's what we need to be doing. We shouldn't be living in an echo chamber and just parroting whatever we think benefits our side. If we're wrong, then admit it and move on.
That's so critical. And I think when we talk about COVID and we talk about our experiences collectively over the last year, these are very critical decisions that we're making about our health, the health of our families, not only our physical health, but our mental health, our emotional health. And all of that also has these ethical and moral components that are part of our decision. So this is very complex. Mm-hmm. And to just charge forward and just stay in our echo chambers and stay in our little boxes, I think does a disservice to everyone in general. And I think what we're looking at now is so important for us to expand our belief systems, ask questions, try to understand, look at data, find someone who can explain it to us if we don't understand. We basically have government and businesses right now, you know, considering requiring vaccination to engage in the basic exchange of goods and services in person. We have these global interests that are wanting more access to our private data. We have to be able to push back against that, and that can only be done effectively if we have access to the information we need to advocate for ourselves. And in order to have the information to advocate for ourselves, we have to push back against the censorship that's happening. We have to not shut down when it comes to other opinions and other information. We have to take all of it in. Mm-hmm. And we know that big tech obviously is working in concert with government to stop this from happening, to censor this information that's readily available out there, but hard to find because they keep shutting things down, because we don't know where to look, because sometimes we don't even know the questions to ask, right? We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
And so we have to come together and find the common ground. And I think that common ground is we need to be fully informed right now, because all of this is so, we're just in uncharted territory. We've never been here before as a country, as the whole globe. We've not been at a place where everyone is collectively in such chaos and despair and this holding pattern and wondering when it's going to end and if it's going to end. And is this really going to be this way now? Is this our new normal, quote unquote? And I hate that phrase.
I'm so tired of that.
But how do we manage this? How do we as individuals have a voice? And where do we go to find the information we need to empower ourselves? We have to push back. We have to stand up. And the importance of alternative platforms for disseminating information is it's just key right now.
Absolutely.
We have to make those decisions. We have to be informed.
Well, and thank you for putting out the information that we need in order to be informed. Sarah Qualley, president of Personhood Alliance Education Arm. I'll make sure to get all the adjectives right. Thank you so much for your time, for your research, for your tireless dedication to life, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Always a pleasure. You can come back anytime. Now, we've
thank
been talking
you.
About some complicated issues, you know, I need more information on this myself, so I'm going to check out the resources that are over at the Personhood Alliance website, which is personhood.org. Links up on our Facebook page as well, so check those out too. My name is Rebecca. God willing, we'll talk to you again tomorrow here on FaithWorks Live.